Fred Film Radio, Galway Film Flaw, Ireland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 29th Galway Film Flaw, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Robert Mullen, who is presenting his film Mad to be Normal. Thank you very much for joining us.
I'm pleased to be here.
Would you like to maybe introduce your film for our listeners so that they know what we're talking about?
Mad to be Normal is a film about a kind of experiment by a famous Scottish psychiatrist, R.D. Lange, in the late 60s, early 70s, where he established a community called Kingsley Hall, where he allowed people who were diagnosed as psychotic to live with him and some other doctors as one, like, huge extended family, where there was no medication, no sedation, no tranquilizers, the occasional use of LSD and dope. And he tried to create an alternative way of dealing with these people.
It's a very interesting topic and a very interesting subject. But, of course, the follow-up question is just, why did you decide to make a movie about it?
I knew about R.D. Lange because I was interested in psychiatry and depression and psychosis, partly because of a family illness. But also, you know, it was an interesting subject. And so when I was at university, I read his books. And then many years later, when I became a filmmaker, I thought, you know, it would be great to make a film about Ronnie Lange, particularly because he's so misrepresented and misunderstood. And I thought his little kind of so-called experiment at Kingsley Hall in East London would be a great focus for the film.
Very good. So, look, before the interview, we had a chance to talk a little bit, and you told me something that's very interesting, and you're very interested in stories. But because this is based on a true story, I was just kind of wondering while I was watching the film, do you ever kind of visualize a style or a way in which you would bring it to the screen? Does that come into play before you actually start shooting? Or while you write the screenplay, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, the point is, it's never down just to the screenwriter and the director. I mean, you know, I mean, for example, the DOP, the director of photography, we sat down and he was very, very keen on using kind of green colours and brown colours and apricot colours. And so we talked about that. We also decided that we would use the dolly a lot. We would do a little bit of handheld work. But most importantly, we knew that right from the word go that firstly, we had to avoid stereotyping mentally ill people. And secondly, we knew it's a film about the actors and the characters. It wasn't a film where you can show great landscapes and fantastic photography. It's a film about whether you can believe that these people are suffering from something, from some kind of mental distress or different view of the world, and whether you can empathize with them. So when I was writing it all the time, I had in mind we had to get really good actors who could not go over the top as kind of mental patients. And it was very much a film about good quality actors playing characters that the audience could empathize with.
So let's talk about that while we're in the topic. How did you just the casting process and how you worked with the actors in the end.
The casting process, it's interesting. I mean, first of all, Robert Carlyle, Trainspotting, blah, 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 was going to play R.D. Lange, and he was very keen to do so. But by the time money was around, he was no longer considered to be the best choice. And so David Tennant heard about the project, wanted to read the script, so I let him read the script. He was very keen, and the money followed quite quickly. We knew we needed someone good to play opposite him, and it just happened that his agent also represented Elizabeth Moss, and she was available at the time we were going to do the shoot. She is a Scientologist, as she will tell you herself, and so she's interested in Lange because Scientologists do not believe in drugs, and they do not believe in psychiatry. So she liked the idea of being in a film about R.D. Lange, who was against psychiatry. Wow. And then Gabriel Byrne heard about the project, and he's interested in psychiatry too. And then it all fell together. Working with them was a treat. I mean, I take the view, inexperienced actors and actors who have never really worked on film before, you may have to spend a bit of time talking to them about what you think they might want to do.
Right.
But I never tell them what to do. And similarly, I would never dream of saying to Gabriel Byrne or David Tennant or Elizabeth or Michael Gambon, this is what you should do. I just used, if they said, do you think my character should be more stern or whatever, I would give them a view, but then I would say, but it really is up to you. And if you have faith in the actors, I think they do repay you.
Right. Right, that's very interesting, and I totally agree. Excellent job by the cast. And of course, we have to move on. One of the things that I loved, I'm trying to remember everything that I want to ask you, because really there's so much to ask, but one of the things that I was definitely impressed by was mentioned in the Q&A, was the way in which, despite the fact that this movie deals with mental illness, it's almost, it blends the boundaries or the differences between the patients and the doctors. And the question is, you know, the representation of mental illness can be a tricky thing, and I'm just wondering how you dealt with it overall.
I mean, I've been to lots of psychiatric hospitals, and I have experiences from my family and also a really close friend. And the thing is, although my close friend, for example, withdrew into himself, he didn't particularly hear voices, but he did live in a world separate to mine. And he spent many, many years in a hospital, but you would never know it. To meet him, because he's just like you and I. He walks along just normally. He's very, very quiet. And I wanted to get away from the idea of, you know, kind of Jack Nicholson in The Shining, for example, you know, some deranged guy.
Right.
You know, that whole kind of imagery. Even One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, some of those characters in there. I think the film is very, very entertaining, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. But the characters are so extreme, and I think, you know, kind of psychiatrically ill people are you and I pushed a little bit further from ourselves. So I used to say to all the cast, here's a list of the kind of symptoms that you might want to follow if you want. You know, gesticulations, noises, catatonia, sitting in the corner, being quiet. These are some of the things that you might want to think about. But whatever you think about, do not go over the top. You are a human being who's just a little bit different.
I also wanted to ask you what your personal opinions were on Lang's techniques. What do you think? What's your impression, even beyond the film that you made or your role as a filmmaker?
I mean, Lang's work comes in three stages, really, relating to three particular books. The one that made him famous to begin with is called The Divided Self. And in that, he simply said, if you listen carefully enough to the ravings of a so-called madman, after a while, if you listen carefully, it might make sense. Mm. So our job is to listen carefully, not just to fill them full of drugs. A second book was called Sanity, Madness and the Family. And he looked at the ways that certain families collude against a member of the family. You know, like a daughter who gets the blame for everything, a son who is blamed for everything, and how eventually it makes them feel, you know, as if they want to withdraw from the world. And then the third book, which made him famous throughout the world, was called The Politics of Experience. And he said, who is really mad? Is it the 17-year-old girl who believes that inside her body is the atom bomb? Or is it the president of America who can drop the atom bomb? Mm. Who is really sane and who is really mad? And that really made him famous, particularly amongst students in America. And that book was on top of the student reading list for 10 years. Mm. And everyone, you know, just said, yeah, is it mad to be normal or normal to be mad? And that was that kind of made him famous. My own view is that his work is so useful in simply reminding us that psychiatric patients are humans first, individual people first, and you have to develop relationships with them and then start focusing on their symptoms. Unfortunately, the average psychiatrist or the average GP looks at the symptoms first and probably never even looks at the person.
Well, we're almost out of time, but you told the audience and you also told me before the interview that you're working on a film on a great writer, and that writer is...
James Joyce.
James Joyce.
And it's about... lots of people know about his books. Not many people spend lengthy times reading, I suspect. He is probably... He is, I guess, to literature what Picasso was to painting. He revolutionized literature, and it's never been the same since. And when you consider the range of his books, from Dubliner's Portrait of the Artist to Finnegan's Wake and, of course, Ulysses, he is the giant of literature. But what people don't understand, or maybe not appreciate, is that the struggles he endured in the last few years of his life. He spent more time living in Paris than in Ireland. But when they said to him, why don't you go back to Ireland? He said, well, I've never left. I write about Ireland. I may be living in Paris, but, I've never left Ireland. But his last few years was years of undergoing terrible surgery for his near blindness, struggling to try and keep his beloved daughter Lucia out of psychiatric institutions. She was diagnosed schizophrenic, and she was seen by the famous psychiatrist Carl Gustav Jung. And he also had problems with alcohol. He had problems with his work being banned in America. Mm. And yet he struggled, hardly being able to see out of one eye, using children's crayons to write. He still completed Finnegan's Wake. He was a heroic character. And I just thought a film about the last few years of his life is highly dramatic.
We'll be looking forward to seeing it. It's... definitely sounds interesting. Interesting, and I'm a big fan of James Joyce. I actually did read Ulysses, by the way. I wanted to tell you. You said that it is a very difficult book to get through. The final chapter, I just kind of read. My eyes were moving by themselves. I don't think I read exactly what the words were saying to me, but it was still great to read it and appreciate it. In any case, it was a real pleasure talking to you. Fantastic work, and congratulations, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
And once again, I'd like to remind our listeners that your film is called Mad to Be Normal, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.